Welcome to Merdeka Memories, a series about the challenges and opportunities faced by Singapore's Merdeka generation, men and women who were born in the 1950s and how their experiences have defined the Singapore spirit. I'm Chewy Lin, and in this episode, we hear from Robert Fernando, whose singing ability has drawn comparisons with some of America's top crooners. And yet, for Mr. Fernando, singing has always remained just a hobby.
He's been dubbed Singapore's Johnny Mathis. His voice has been compared to the likes of Luther Vandross and James Ingram. This man's career has taken him from the intimate recordings with well-known artists to grand performances representing Singapore in many different countries all over the world, performing for dignitaries such as the President of the United States. Please welcome the very one and only Auntie Killer, Mr. Robert Fernando.
Hi, my name is Robert Fernando. Some of you may know me from the national song We Are Singapore. Others might know me where I used to appear in variety shows. Was it TCS or SBC or Mediacorp? That's how old I am. I was born in 1959. Where was I born? At home in Singapore. Seriously. There are six of us in the family. I'm number five. So I grew up with three older sisters, one older brother and one younger brother. I moved to Toa Payoh when I was 9 years old. Growing up was wonderful in Singapore. The whole neighborhood was your playground. Doors would be left open most of the time. And as kids, we just went around and looked for our friends or any extra kaki that we needed, either for hantam bola or football or whatever the game was. And I started to love listening to particular music when I was about 12 years old. But I would say maybe it started when I was about at the age of 10. I remember primary four, my school teacher was Mrs. Goh. And one day she came up and says, we're going to have a choir. And I can't remember how it happened. I doubt those days they asked for volunteers. Adults would just say, you, and you come with me, you know. And next thing we're nowhere in it. But the song I remember, that the first song I ever learned to sing was Edelweiss from Sound of Music. Edelweiss, Edelweiss, every morning you greet me. Gee, I was 10. Well, I think I was 12 or 13 that I was introduced to an album or a record, LP. Yeah? It was Andy Williams. Andy Williams specializes in ballads. He's got one of the smoothest voice I know and amazing stamina. And I heard the song Love Story, and I immediately fell in love with that story. I fell in love with that song, and I just couldn't stop listening to Andy Williams singing that piece. And so I would just sing and sing and sing. I mean, I wouldn't be able to sing like him, but just even if I didn't physically sing it, the song would be in my mind over and over again. Then being 14 or 16 or whatever, so I would just tag along with all these guys who are a couple of years older than me, who would hire studios, you know, where they can go and jam because they could play the electric guitar and make it really loud. Drummers can bang. So I would tag along, and then after that, once in a while, I would be asked to sing one song, which most of the time it wasn't my thing, you know. I mean, I would try, like Bad Company or Deep Purple or something like that. I did try, but it just wasn't mine, because in my brain I was already programmed with this very soothing, mellow ballads by Andy Williams or Johnny Mathis and a few more. As free as the wind. And then when I was in the army, I got roped into sing a couple of songs for road shows in camp. And then this friend of mine who lives in my neighborhood one day came to me and said there was a newspaper ad that they were looking for cast members for a musical. It was one off, but it was a 2-hour long concert. It was all from musicals like The West Side Story, The Showboat, and it was for charity. It was a fundraising event. This was in 1978, I think, or 1978. And they were looking for people who can sing and dance. You know, the audition is on a, I think it was a Saturday or a Sunday. And I said, oh, sing, that's nice, but dance, no way. But my friend just said, well, I need company. Would you like to come along with me? He didn't want to go alone. So I agreed. I went there. And there was this person who was there to take down names on who's attending for the audition. And when she asked me, I said, no, I'm just accompanying this guy. And then this friend of mine says, oh, but he can sing. And she was trying to encourage me to join in. I said, no. And we just sat there and we waited because they hadn't started yet. And then next thing you know, a few more other people arrived. And then the choreographer arrived. And then the pianist arrived. And so I saw each of them going up one at a time, standing next to the piano and just doing some scales as what the pianist would play. And then my friend went up and then there was no one else. So automatically everybody looks at me and go, you want to give it a try? You want to give it a try? So by that time, I thought from whatever I heard from most of the people, I said, not so bad. I think I can do the la, 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 la. So I went and I did that. And they said, good. That was very nice. They said, wow, first time. Anyone who said it was very nice. And first time I actually did scales, you know, follow whatever the piano did. And then after that, they said, oh, choreography. You're in, right? You're joining us. I said, no, 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 no. But then my friend dragged me. I went. But thankfully, it turned out to be, I mean, it's not even choreography. Like, you know, you just move from left to right. You sway left to right. And they go, oh, great. You guys are good. So I filled up my name and my address. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, I received a letter that says, congratulations, you've been selected as a cast member for this musical called Stardust. Rehearsals will start in da-da-da-da-da-da. And the venue was, I think it was ECA Center in Farrer Park or something. And so I was actually quite thrilled. I was like, whoa, you know. So I quickly called up this friend of mine and says, yay, shall we make arrangements and go on, whether it was Saturday or Sunday, we can go together because I don't know where it was. I know where Farrer Park is, but where exactly this place, I was not sure. And then he replied, what letter? Yep. And I go, oh. I decided, oh, maybe you haven't checked your mailbox or you might get it later. And then that was the end of it. I don't think so. I saw him again after that. And I think that's where I got my first exposure into the world of music or entertainment. So from then on, I mean, then I carried on. And that's where I met up with great people like Siva Choy, the late Siva Choy. He was there. Wilson David. Later, I found out he's the Elvis of Singapore. And then there was Jacinta Bishkanathan and her father, Alex, Pat Chan, and a whole string of other people. Mo Alkaf was also there. We were all teens. And so I was this cast member. I mean, we had lots of people from the media, actually. Well, after that, I was selected to sing in a vocal group called Stardust. This was more like your Manhattan Transfer or group vocal singing. There were like 8 of us, 4 guys, 4 girls. And so we did our very, my first so-called semi-professional engagement was, I think it was a Christmas Eve or a New Year's Eve event at Cathay Restaurant at the Cathay building.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Sam Gunn was the main maestro there. So that kind of kick-started from then on.
How often would you perform?
Once or twice a year. So we mainly did charity events, actually. Yeah, and only if it was a Christmas Eve or a New Year's Eve event. And so it didn't matter to me because I enjoyed singing. And so that's all that was important. It was exciting meeting new people, hanging out with people, learning new songs.
It sounds like you sang only occasionally. Was that enough to sustain you as your kind of day job?
Oh, yeah. I always had a day job. First, I had a day job in a motor workshop. And then after that, I went into food and beverage. That was in the mid-80s. And I stayed in food and beverage all the way till about year 2000. So singing was always a wonderful hobby. And it did bring me just about all over the world. I went many trips with the Singapore Tourism Board all around the world and had the opportunity to appear on national TVs and public shows, road shows, and NDP, yeah.
There was a time when people said that Singapore won't make it, but we did.
And quite a few recordings with Taiwanese singers.
The more I love, the more that I'm afraid.
Tracy Huang, Candy Chen, and another lady from Hong Kong. I only know her English name as Regina. I don't know her Chinese name. So I did duets with all these people in the recording studio, part of their album. I was also part of a gospel group in Singapore. It's called Onesimus Principle, with produced by Warner Brothers back then, WEA. Yeah.
Did you ever consider pursuing this as a full-time career, or was it too difficult?
I guess, number one, I must have been a chicken because I didn't want to be part of a band that stood there every day and sing all kinds of songs. That's something, like I told you, I didn't want. I just wanted to sing the songs that I enjoyed singing. A song that's got to mean something to me. And if I went, wow, then that's the song I want to sing.
Such as?
Ballads, mainly. I don't think so. They were very popular for entertainers to only strictly do ballads because they had to do rock and roll or cha-cha or in later years, pop, rock, or disco, you know. I remember I had this experience when I was a manager in this place called Cheers, the music pub. I hired two guys to do a happy hour just with guitar. And they did a great job. And what hit me was some customers sending in requests, which is wonderful. If people start to give requests, that means they're enjoying the songs that these guys are performing, but some of the songs were just ridiculous. You got two guys on guitar and they asked for songs like Beat It, Michael Jackson. That's another reminder to me why I never wanted to do that. It's like, how are these guys going to sing Beat It? And of course, they very politely told the customers that they couldn't do the song, which actually the customer wasn't very happy about it. I didn't quite see that I would like to do it for a living. When I grew much older, I realized that it's not so easy to do it for a living. And especially so because the standard was very high. The standard was very high. So to be a professional singer back then, you had to be very good vocally. And of course, you have to be very hardworking, as in you have to already have done your homework, know all the songs that you need to know that is popular. I mean, like, because back then it was generally top 40s. And there were not that many entertainment outlets around back then, but enough for the really good musicians to go around. It's expensive to run an establishment like that, so which is why even from the 80s, a lot of people started to use DJs piped in music or use DJs to spin music in clubs, you know, more cost-effective. Entertainers today, you still have good ones, but I suppose there's not enough venues that can accommodate live music. And Singapore is not easy in this creative field, or even, you know, in as a musician, whatever. You got to bear into factor, even back then, we have four different languages. So if you did a recording in English, let's say you're a recording artist, you sing in English, and only the English speaking will want to buy. But then again, as an English speaking or English listening person, then I have my preference. Is it pop or rock or jazz or swing? So our population is very small and we have opened our doors, so, you know, we can have international artists from here, there, recording artists, da, 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 da. So if I can get all of this, why would I want to listen to a local? And then again, why do we have to say local artists? I don't hear the Americans saying local artists in their radio station or news stations where they interview their artists, you know. So you start to label, and then somehow local doesn't sound so wow anymore. I think we just tend to go into comparing, you know, since we're open to international market, you can just get it from there. Why do I have to listen to you? So my future is just to stay healthy and happy. And if I can carry on singing and sharing my joy with others who also love that, I would be happy to do that. Right now, I still continue to do charity events as much as I can. But I think ultimately, I started out different only because I just wanted to sing. I didn't think about wanting to become a musician to make money, because musicians did make much more than other occupations. Because, I mean, they had to work hard, you know. I mean, you had to be good in order to earn that much. But then again, their earnings were not consistent. Maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months, maybe a year. You'll never know when is your next paycheck coming. So do it for the sake and for the love of music. Not that you can make great money or you can become famous, you know. Get famous first. The fortune will follow. Whatever our passion is, just follow that and do it because you're passionate about it.